A woman was working in her yard weed whacking, and unfortunately, when she did, her cat was there, and she ended up taking the cat's tail off. And so in a panic, she ran into the house and said to her husband, "Honey, honey, honey, I cut the cat's tail off. What should I do?" And he said, "Honey, quickly, grab the cat and grab the tail. We'll take it to Walmart." And she said, "Honey, what are you talking about? We need to help the cat." And he said, "Honey, don't you realize Walmart's the world's largest retailer?" Three things in life. We have too many cat lovers out here. Three things in life, once gone, never come back. Time, words, opportunity. Three things in life that can destroy a person: anger, pride, unforgiveness. Three things in life you should never lose: hope, peace, and honesty. Three things in life that are most valuable: love, family and friends, and kindness. Let's pray. God, help us in the midst of life's struggles, hurts, and disappointments to trust you and not to allow ourselves to get derailed. We know all things can be taken from us in this life but you. So it's to you we want to move closer. Fill us with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today comes out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 13. Ernie's got it up on the screen already. I'm going to read it to you. Hebrews 12, 7 to 13. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make a straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. In the last part of Hebrews chapter 11, the author speaks of the heroes of faith, those who gave their all in serving and following the ways of Christ, the ones who in many ways cut the path for the journey of our spiritual lives. All of us stand on the spiritual shoulders of those who have gone before us. These people of faith that Paul speaks of didn't always have things end victoriously. Flogging, mocking, chained, imprisoned, sawed in two, torn apart by wild beasts. The promise that they hoped for but did not live to see was a long-awaited for Messiah, the Christ. We can experience what others just dreamed about, but we also have the opportunity to help make a way for those who will come after us. Have you ever gone through a difficult period in your life and wondered where God is? Did he abandon you? Was he too busy with other things? Was he willing to help but was too weak to alter the outcome? These are some of the questions those listening to Paul's words are trying to sort out, because they're presently in difficulty and hardship up to their eyeballs. Does anyone here know how to swim? How do you learn? Did someone just throw you in the deep end of a pool or a lake and it was either sink or swim? That's a tough way to learn. But if you never enter the water, you'll never learn to swim. Many times, there are more things going on in our lives than we realize. That some of the challenges are actually building something deep into our lives that can only happen when you're in the water. In the first part of Hebrews 12, it talks about not becoming weary and losing heart. There are many reasons to feel weary and lose heart in this life. Have you noticed? A lot of things have not turned out like we thought they would or wanted them to. The author of Hebrews turns these difficulties, even persecution, into a discussion of discipline by the Lord and parents. The dictionary defines discipline like this: the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Oh no, what did I do wrong that I'm getting disciplined? Have you ever noticed that sometimes in life that you can learn certain things just by doing it? And that's not meant to be a Nike commercial. A certain amount of trial and error. I think the best way to learn how to drive a car is to drive a car as much as you can. You can't get experience without actually doing it. Today's text starts in Hebrews 12:7. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? Have you ever thought that the present trial you're going through could actually bear positive results in your life? Most of us want to run as far as we can in the other direction. We want everything to come easy, but few things do. The first day of school, when you don't know anyone and you're not quite sure how to make friends or if you're going to be accepted. But somehow you made it through that first day and have developed some friendships along the way. The stretching opportunities happen in our lives, and often we're not looking for them, but God allows them for our own good. Have you ever met a child who was not disciplined? It seems like the child, whether 2 years old or 15 years old, is running the asylum. This is not a good thing. You may have heard people use the phrase, a spoiled brat. Parenting is so important because children do not have the experience or maturity to make key decisions in their lives without guidance and protection. As parents, we want to make sure our kids make it to adulthood alive. It's in love for our children that we admonish or correct them. Look both ways before you cross the street. Don't take rides from strangers. Eat your dessert first in case the vegetables kill you. In the same way, God, our Heavenly Father, wants to guide us in becoming adults spiritually, which means correcting or admonishing us at times because of our selfishness or because we're living in a broken world where we get hurt by others who are hurting. Hebrews 12:8. If you do not have discipline in which all children share, then you're illegitimate and not as children. It is not very often someone disciplines a child that is not the parent. When you are a parent of a child, your actions should be motivated out of love. Have you ever heard a parent say to a child, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you"? It's much easier to receive correction when we know the person administering it loves us. The God of the universe loves you. And when he speaks into your life, it's because he completely cares for you. If the Heavenly Father didn't correct or guide us, it would indicate that we are not his children, that someone else is the parent. In John 8:44, Jesus accuses the religious leaders of not embracing the truth of God because their father is a devil who relishes in lies. They love to do evil things. When God is our Father, we want to be like him, to be people of life, of grace and forgiveness to all we encounter. Hebrews 12:9. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not even more be willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and forever? The NLT says, the Father of our spirits and live forever. We are created beings to live in the physical world, but we've equally been created spiritual beings that function within the spiritual world. Who has made us spiritually alive? God has, and he's designed us to live forever spiritually. If we respect our parents, how much more should we submit to the direction of Christ in our lives? Have you ever experienced the correction or the admonishment of the Holy Spirit? This has happened many times to me. When I accidentally killed the pig with a hammer because of uncontrolled anger, the Holy Spirit spoke into my inner being and said, "You won't mean to, but someday you'll kill somebody because of your uncontrolled anger." I felt completely sick inside. I knew I needed a dramatic change in my life. There was nothing I could put off. I needed a willingness to change from the path I was on immediately before it was too late. How do you respond when you recognize the Lord is calling you to bring changes in your life? Hebrews 12:10. "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness." I have a secret for all the kids here. Your parents are not perfect, and sometimes they make mistakes or do not handle things the way they should. And hopefully they come back and acknowledge this to you. But God's intentions are perfectly good in every circumstance. And the Father's desire is that we might share in his holiness. Because of the brokenness of our world and the sin in our lives, we carry around a lot of unnecessary junk. But this wasn't how we were designed to live. God wants to free us from this junk and let us experience his holiness. Hebrews 12:11. "Now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields to peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." Who likes being corrected? It can be embarrassing when things are pointed out in our lives. Our natural response often is we feel defensive. Listen to this in Acts 18:24-26. "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived from Ephesus from Alexander in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord and taught others about Jesus with enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately." How did Apollos respond to Priscilla and Aquila speaking into his life? Did he jump up and down in anger? Did he yell at them and call them dumb? Did he stomp off and leave them? No, he welcomed their words into his life. This is how we want to respond when people speak into our lives, especially when they can see something that we cannot. This can be uncomfortable or even painful at times, kind of like having a tooth filled. But there'll be a negative fallout if we ignore it or pretend it isn't there, because it isn't going away on its own. We actually want to surround ourselves with people who love God and love us, and yet will challenge our behavior from time to time. The end result of yielding to discipline is a peaceful heart of right living. Do you experience a peaceful heart from day to day? When we embrace the Lord's admonishment instead of running away from it, it creates a pathway for us going forward. God's work and word in our lives changes our destinies. Jesus wants us to experience his peace on the inside, especially when there's storms without. The last two verses, Hebrews 12:12-13. "Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed." As a result of embracing God's discipline, take a new grip with those tired hands and strengthen those weak knees. This journey in faith as Christ followers is not for the weak of heart. It can be challenging at times. It can feel like you cannot take another step. Every ounce of strength has drained out of you, but you're not alone. These verses, these last two, come from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah 35 that was read early in the service. The context is, be strong. Do not fear. God is coming. He's coming to save you. He's coming to heal you. In the early days of professional baseball, because travel was expensive, they often played doubleheaders, two games in one day. So they almost played every day, and then almost once a week, they played two games in the one day. So starting in the late morning, they play nine innings, and then in the afternoon, they play another nine innings. This was incredibly grinding, and especially to, let's say, the regular players, to have to play almost every day and then twice one day a week. And so they go to the skipper or manager and say, is it possible that maybe you could give some of the other players a little playing time and I don't have to play the second game? And the manager said, that's great, we'll do that. All I want you to do is play the first inning and then we'll sub you out. What the manager also knew is once their competitive spirits started going into the game, they didn't want to leave after the first inning. Whatever you do, stay in the game. Keep reading the scriptures, praying, and embracing church community. The context of those Paul's writing in the book of Hebrews is not that they've gotten a spanking from a parent, or that they've been sent to the corner for a timeout, or had their gaming system taken away for a week, nor have they been grounded never to see the light of day again. These that the apostles writing are experiencing enormous persecution, where they're losing everything you'd hope to hang on to in the physical world. Just as Jesus experienced hostility from sinful people, so were these followers of Christ. The only thing not taken from them at this point was their very lives. And then the writer breaks into this idea of not making light of the Lord's discipline and do not give up when he corrects you. Is God punishing this young church in the first century? Is he persecuting them? No. God is for them and not against them. Is God the one who's bringing all the painful things in your life when you're trying to follow, love, and serve him? No. He loves you and he's for you. So what is exactly happening here? The horrible things that happen in our lives, the things that end up at our doorstep that are so surprising and shocking, the things we never thought we would need to deal with in this life. Rob Reamer has said, character cannot be developed without persistence. Persistence cannot be cultivated without testing. Testing is seldom welcomed, but often the very thing we need to become the very people we long to be. Testing is seldom welcomed, but often the very thing we need to become the very people we long to be. God does not bring the devastation and the brokenness, but he's so good that he can turn what others meant for harm or evil to our benefit. Jesus can take all the junk and heartache and turn it around and bless us. God desires to be so close to us that we're so dependent on him that we can trust him in every season of our lives, no matter how nuts it gets. And as we rely on our Heavenly Father, just as Jesus did when he walked this earth, it'll develop peaceful fruit of right living. Who could use more peace in their lives? James 1:2-4, it says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would not take all the difficulties and testings out of our lives, because we know that you can use it for our good. Help us to humbly trust you. when everything seems like it's going wrong. We know that you completely love us, that you're fully invested in our lives. So we submit to your will and way in us individually and corporately, knowing you always have the best path through. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
I have one announcement. I'll do the benediction. We'll sing one more song, and then you're dismissed. I mentioned Summer Jam. If you could be praying for the many kids that are going to be coming, and then the many workers and people that are going to create environment and everything else they do in the weeks ahead. It seems like we're always at one of these three stages. We're about to go into a difficulty. We're in a difficulty, or we're just exiting a difficulty. If I could assure you, better yet, if God could assure you that in the end, no matter what difficulty you're in, it's going to work out okay, would that calm your heart? I quote Philip Yancey in one of his books. He says, in the end, it'll all turn out. And if it's not turning out, it's because it's not the end. As you go under the sign of the cross. And the question is, can you trust him when the way is hard? He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is with us. He is for us. And he loves us. Amen.
To stand for our last song, feel free to do that. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my above all.
Great week, everybody.